I do what's called ultra endurance bikepacking races. And these are races typically of several thousand kilometers long. I've done a 7,500 kilometer race from Norway to Spain, 4,500 kilometer races, London to Istanbul, length of New Zealand across Australia. And the concept behind these races is it's you and your bike with no outside support to the finish line. And you ride, you follow a set route, and you ride as long as you want each day. And so I've averaged 230 kilometers for 32 and a half days right now. So I've done 7,400 kilometers to where we are right now. And this race is a 12,500 kilometer race. It's the longest one in the world.
Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Chris Bennett is a civil engineer and an avid cyclist. When Chris is pedaling along a trail on his bike, he is in his happy place. In fact, Chris enjoys cycling so intensely that he has taken on some of the world's most beautiful, most demanding, and longest cycling trails, tracks, paths, and lanes connected by enjoyable wilderness roads.
Chris challenged himself to ride the Tour Aotearoa, a cycle along the entire coast of New Zealand, stretching 3,000 kilometers from Cape Reinga in the north to Bluff in the south. His first attempt in 2016 was promptly curtailed by a health challenge, and his second effort in 2018 ended in a bad crash at the 750-kilometer mark, which meant 4 hours of facial reconstructive surgery and a traumatic brain injury.
4 years later, Chris trained hard and promised his wife Liz that he would not overdo it. Then he took the road on his bike, finishing first in his wave of riders. However, Chris disqualified himself in the end because although he finished first, he was unable to ride a few unpaved trails when his brain injury acted up, and so he chose to stay on adjacent, smoother paved roads.
But that wasn't enough for Chris. A Canadian by birth, a few months later, he also took the challenge of the hardest and longest self-supporting ultra-endurance bike race in the entire world, and he won. The Trans-Canada Ultra crosses Canada from the north to the south and from the west to the east, a distance of 12,500 kilometers from Whitehorse to Newfoundland.
Our film crew met up with Chris while he was pedaling through Oshawa, Ontario, and he graciously stopped to share some of his insights on how he has chosen to trust God to take care of everything while he rides along some of the world's most arduous and impressive cycling trails.
In a moment, you will meet Chris and hear some of the stories of his incredible faith-building adventures. Welcome back to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Imagine discovering your dream job. I mean, you see it, your dream job. And you say to yourself, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that job. And so you set out with all your grit, all your guts, and all your determination to get that job.
You study, get the necessary degrees and qualifications and experience, and you rise in the ranks at your work. And what if it takes you 19 years of blood, sweat, and tears to get to the place where you are perfectly qualified to do your dream job? And the person in charge gives you a call and says, "The job is yours."
But instead of accepting it, you pause and you say, give me a week to pray about it and to talk to my wife. And the next day you pray and God speaks to your conscience telling you not to take the job. What do you do?
Our special guest on Eddie Schwitzen Canada today is Chris Bennett, who faced this precise predicament. Chris is a passionate ultra-endurance cyclist who our film crew met up with while he was pedaling through Oshawa, Ontario, cycling across Canada in a 12,500-kilometer ultra-endurance bike-packing race, the hardest and longest self-supporting bike race in the world, the Trans-Canada Ultra, which he later won.
We'll let Chris tell you himself how he handled this unexpected, unwanted answer to prayer and how trusting God's no turned out to be way better for his career than his burning desire to say yes to his dream job when it was offered to him for the taking. Here's Chris.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Chris Bennett, and as you can see from my outfit, I'm a passionate cyclist. In fact, cycling has been a key part of my Christian walk. I'd like to share with you a testimony of how God changed my entire life through cycling. When I was 25, I was studying at Auckland University for my master's degree. I was looking for a topic for my thesis, and this guy from the World Bank came and presented on his job, and I thought, I want your job. It was work in developing countries, helping people. So I did a master's degree, then a PhD, and I worked for 17 years getting experience so I could actually get this job at the World Bank. And so that was 1983. In 2002, I got a phone call from the World Bank. I was working in Cambodia, and they said, we'd like to offer to interview you for a job. So they flew me to Bangkok, and I had an interview. And they called me the next morning and said, right, the job's yours, here's the package, I guess you accept. So here it is. For 19 years, I've waited for this moment. What was my response? I said, I need a week to pray about it and talk to my wife. The next day, for my devotions, I was reading this book. And the first thing it said was, the commandment says, thou shalt know the God before me, dot, 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 and that includes your job. So imagine giving that response, and then the next morning, God says to me, be very careful. And as I thought about it and prayed about it, spoke to my wife, I became convinced this wasn't what God wanted me to do. So what do you do? You know, 19 years, 5 years of university, all this work. So I contacted them back and I said, look, it's not the job. I really want this, but I've prayed about it. It's not the right time for it. I'm really sorry. And that was it. So afterwards, I was, you know, kind of at a loss as to what to do. So I went and rode my mountain bike from Canada to Mexico along the Rocky Mountains, 4,500 kilometers, took me 2 months. And I was in New Mexico, just south of Silver City, when a bad storm hit. And I was sheltering in my tent, and I got this really clear impression from God saying, you can take the job, but you can't ask for it. And I thought, is this hunger? Is this tiredness? Because how can you take a job and not ask for it? And besides which, this is now 6 months since I said no thank you. So I thought, this is just crazy. So I finished my bike ride, and I went up to Toronto to visit my parents. Monday morning, 9:30, the phone rings. It's the World Bank. They said, have you changed your mind? And I said, well, actually, now that you ask, yes. So I ended up in October 2003 working for the World Bank. So a lot of people ask me, why is it that you had this delay? Because you could have gone a year earlier and made such a difference. But it was really clear to me. You see, I had spent 19 years of ambition for this job. And by saying no to it, God showed me I wasn't there for my ambition, I was there to serve Him. And it really changed the whole dynamics because it meant that when presented with opportunities at the World Bank, it wasn't, oh, how can I progress my career? It's, is this consistent with what God wants me to do? And it also gave me a huge sense of freedom. Like one time, my boss said to me that, you know, he wasn't happy with me and he might fire me. And I said, that's really okay because I'm here at God's will. And He opens and closes doors all the time. So if you choose to move me on, it's really okay with me because that means God has another plan for my life. He goes, you're crazy. I said, don't ask you to believe it. Just accept that I'm really quite indifferent because, you know, in the end, I'm here to serve God. And it was a great opportunity. And I spent 18 years at the World Bank and it was a fantastic job, and I'm really grateful for God's opening that door in my life.
Why do you do what you do? Is it just a job? Is it your career? Or is it your calling?
Remember what Chris said. Having said no gave him a chance to ask the question, is this job consistent with what God wants me to do?
And it also gave Chris a huge sense of freedom. He had no fear of losing his job because in the end, he knew that he was working to serve God and not for the paycheck or the status or because the job was his idol.
His job at the World Bank was not his sense of identity or his sense of value as a person. He was free from all fear. Just imagine working every day free from all fear.
Working in a high-stress job like he did at the World Bank was very grueling and was, in fact, wearing him down. So besides not being afraid of losing his job, just knowing that God wanted him in that particular job would make it a lot harder to quit when the going got really, really tough. We'll let Chris himself tell you what his dream job was like.
So during my time at the World Bank, I'm a civil engineer. I did a whole range of things. In fact, I ended up being appointed the World Bank's first advisor for addressing environmental and social issues on the transport sector. And that was because I took a real interest in the soft side of things. For example, I introduced HIV/AIDS training to China for construction workers. And the World Bank's a fantastic job, but really hard. I traveled 6 months of the year to all these developing countries. I got really worn down. And in 2010, I was just really tired of the job. And one day before church, I went out for a bike ride, and cycling is my real happy place where I can just meditate and I can just zone out. And I was praying to God during my bike ride saying, you know, I'm really tired. I really don't want to do this travel anymore. I really just want to do this, 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 and this. And God came through really clear to me and said, everything you've said there starts with the word I. You are not the World Bank for yourself. You're there to fulfill my will. So I went back for my bike ride. I told my wife this story, and we went to church. And that day, the theme of the sermon was fulfilling God's purpose in your life. So my wife turned to me and said, I think God has pretty clearly answered your question about what he wants you to do. It's keep staying where you are. And subsequent to that, I started working more and more in the Pacific Islands. And one of the things in the Pacific Islands is there's a huge problem with gender-based violence, where 7 out of 10 women are victims of gender-based violence. There's a lot of child abuse as well. And so my team and I, we started a process to have programs to try and ameliorate the effect of gender-based violence in the communities where we're doing our projects. And we developed all these protocols, and we're really making a good impact in the Pacific. And then what happened was there's a problem in Uganda, and it transpired that the other parts of the World Bank weren't doing what we were doing. So I got the opportunity to lead the work at the World Bank and develop the guidelines for addressing gender-based violence, which is now used throughout the World Bank. And then an opportunity came up to develop the guidelines for doing road safety and how to actually do projects to protect people from traffic accidents and save lots of lives. And so I really could see how if I'd left the bank when I wanted to leave it, I wouldn't have had that impact of helping out with gender-based violence, child abuse, developing standards for road safety. And it was interesting is that after I finished those elements of my work, I felt at peace for leaving the bank. And it's as if God has said, right, you've now fulfilled what I wanted you to do. And so I was able to retire and quite happily end my time at the bank.
Chris had to stick it out to fulfill God's purpose in his life. Interesting word, fulfill. It's actually two words, full and fill, or in other words, to fill full. To fulfill God's purpose in your life, you need to complete what he asks you to do.
Jesus told an embarrassing story of a man who started building a tower and then he ran out of money. He did not fulfill his purpose because he did not count the cost.
Since Chris does ultra-endurance bike packing races, races that are typically several thousand kilometers long, he has learned what it means to stick with it until you get the job done. As a Christian, your job is never finished. I am reminded of how Jesus was possessed of one purpose. He lived to bless others. There's always work to do when you're blessing others. Helping those who are lost or lonely or just needing a helping hand.
I do what's called ultra endurance bikepacking races. And these are races typically of several thousand kilometers long. I've done a 7,500 kilometer race from Norway to Spain, 4,500 kilometer races, London to Istanbul, length of New Zealand across Australia. And the concept behind these races is it's you and your bike with no outside support to the finish line. And you ride, you follow a set route, and you ride as long as you want each day. And so I've averaged 230 kilometers for 32 and a half days right now. So I've done 7,400 kilometers to where we are right now. And, this race is a 12,500 kilometer race. It's the longest one in the world. Yeah, and I find them uniquely challenging because when something goes wrong, you've got to deal with it. Like my bicycle broke to the west of Sault Ste. Marie, and I had to cycle 600 kilometers to a bicycle shop with one gear. And you just deal with it. We've had people with their bikes break in the deserts, and they've had to cable tie their cassettes to the spokes to get to where they want to go to. So it's all about you and your bike and your personal resilience. When things go wrong, you can't throw a hissy fit next to the right side of the road. Just deal with it. I also really find, because my bicycle is my happy place, I like just spending the hours and hours just pedaling. I'm very happy doing that. I often listen to the Bible, I listen to music, podcasts, but like today I've cycled 7 hours just with nothing on, just because I really just enjoy just the peace of riding my bicycle through beautiful scenery and meeting people. And this is the other aspect to this racing, is that you meet people from all over as you're cycling along. There's people when they say, you know, why are you doing this? Are you being paid? And they say, no, I just like to ride my bike. It's a huge source of discussion. And I often can use as a witness to people as well when I explain how God's influenced my life and creating opportunities. I think we witness as Christians in ways that we're not aware of. For example, because people know I'm a Christian, if something goes wrong and I start, they look at how I respond. It's like in this race, the organizers said, it's amazing how I just accept whatever goes wrong. Well, I think that comes with our faith, that we learn just to roll with how things are, and people watch us. But you also interact with a totally different group of people than you normally have. In these races, I've raced against bike couriers, I've raced against different nationalities, I've raced against all sorts of people. And in fact, one time I was doing London-Istanbul, and this is an interesting story because that shows the interactions. We tend to fall into groups of similar distances every day. And so I was doing about 250 kilometers a day, and there were half a dozen others with the same distances. And so we'd often find ourselves in the same hotels at night or the same campgrounds. And one morning we were having breakfast with three other racers, and one of them looked at her phone and said, oh, there's riots in Kosovo. I can't go that route, and I don't know what to do. So I took my Garmin and took out the memory card and said, here's a route through Albania and Greece. I'll get to the finish line. And she said, why are you giving me this? And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, this is a 100-pound memory card. You just met me this morning. And I said, well, you're in trouble, and this is what people do. So we ended up riding together, and we spent the next night in an Albanian brothel. That's another story. And about 2 days later on, she said to me, you know, I'm a lesbian. And I said, yeah, I worked out that the first day. She says, but you're Christian. You're being so nice to me. And I sort of realized that her only interaction with Christians had come from a negative critical side. And I said, well, I mean, who you are and what you do is not my business. My business is just to help you and be nice to you. And since that time, she has become like a foster daughter to my wife and I. She's visited us twice in New Zealand, and we've helped her get established in the UK. And it just shows how God will bring people into your lives you would never normally interact with. And you have an opportunity as a Christian just to show God's love to people. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner, shine for Jesus where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. far from harbor, you may guide across the bar, right in the corner where you are.
Just above our clouded skies that you may help to clear, let not narrow self your way depart. Though into one heart alone may fall your song of cheer,
right in the corner where you are, right in the corner, shine for Jesus where you are, right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, right in the corner where you are. If for all your talent you may surely find a need, here reflect the bright and morning star. Even from your humble hand the bread of life may feed, right in the corner where you are, right in the corner, shine for Jesus where you are, right in the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, right in the corner where you are.
So although these are bikepacking races, as a Christian, we have a different philosophy towards competition. I'm not here to beat anyone. I'm here to just do the best that I can. And that influences how I race. And one time I was racing across Australia in the Indian Pacific Wheel Race, which was a 5,500-kilometer race from Perth to Sydney. And a friend of mine, Vasiliki from Greece, was racing as well. And she developed what's called Schirmer's neck. And this is what happens when you spend too much time on your aero bars and you lose the ability to raise your neck. And the thing was, she wouldn't withdraw from the race. And I got a call from the race organizer saying, she ran into a parked car. I've heard from the police. She's going to hurt herself, but she won't withdraw from the race. So I contacted Vasiliki, and I said, Vasiliki, just stop. I will ride with you and make sure that you're safe. So we got together, and we then developed a strategy. Because she couldn't raise her head, she would ride along, and I would stay about 20 meters behind her. And when traffic came, I'd yell, Vasiliki, get over, get over. And so we rode from Adelaide about 1,000 kilometers that way. And I had stopped my race, because to me, it was no longer about me doing the best I could in the race. It was my purpose in that race was to make sure Vasiliki didn't kill herself. And I was totally okay with no longer racing my race, because it was more important that she was safe. And this influences how we race. Another time when I was racing Norway to Spain, there were three of us who were in competition for 8th, 9th, and 10th place. And we were in Spain, and I was going up this mountain, and the rider who was going in 8th place was coming down, and he was really, really sick with a gastro problem. And I had a chat with his name was Mike, and I said, Mike, what's going on? He goes, oh, I spent last night, I'm really sick, and I don't know if I'm going to finish. Now, being an ex-world banker, I carry the ultimate medical kit for things like that. So I said, right. So I took my medical kit out, and I gave him the medications. And I said, you take these, and they'll solve your problem in a few hours, and you'll be able to keep racing. Now, in a normal competitive race, you wouldn't give the person two spots ahead of you the medicine to keep them in the race. But for me, it's far more important that he finishes than I come in ahead of him. And once again, it's a philosophy behind racing where it's not about beating the opposition. Do the best you can. And if anyone else that you come across is in trouble, you don't relish the fact you'll jump a spot ahead of them. You help them out. And I think that's how it should just be in life. When you see someone in need, you just help them. After retiring from the World Bank, I live in New Zealand in this great place called Golden Bay. And the retired people asked me to give a talk about my World Bank career to them. So I discussed the work I was doing. I built airports and highways in China. And one of the projects I did was I was responsible to build 400 houses in Tonga after a cyclone. So this guy, Frank, asked me a question saying, Chris, if you can build 400 houses in Tonga after a cyclone, can't you do something about the housing crisis here in Golden Bay? So God really put an impression on me that I needed to do something about this. And as I prayed about it, I realized that he wanted me to do something. So I started a project, which we call the Golden Bear Affordable Housing Project. And what we've done is the approach we used in Tonga was quite unique. By law, women can't own land in Tonga. And after the cyclone, most of the beneficiaries for housing were women. And we were quite concerned they would lose their houses that we built for them. So we found out that an approach to use was to separate the house from the land. So we would sign a lease for the land and then put the house on the land. And so by separating out land from the house, it creates a possibility of creating affordable housing. So I adapted that approach for New Zealand, and we've built four houses so far, and we have another five under preparation. And our goal is to really make an impact on the housing crisis. And I've had a lot of support from the Christians in Golden Bay who are providing funding for the houses. One Christian couple provided part of their land for free for people to live on. And so it's a really great witness that you can help your community to make a difference. And it's been really great for me to be able to continue to use my World Bank skills today when I'm not riding my bicycle across Canada and help people. Because really, that's what Christianity is all about, making a difference.
Near the end of his journey, the Apostle Paul sounded somewhat like an ultra-endurance bike-packing racer when he declared, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Helping people, that is what this Christian ultra-endurance race is all about, making a difference.
And what a creative way Chris made a difference by helping his community build affordable housing and by helping his fellow ultra-endurance bikepackers see the love of Jesus in action. That is what Christianity is all about. And that is what our free offer today is all about, showing how God still lives, even when you wander.
Just like Chris, let the love of the Lord shine through his life. Our free offer reveals how God still lives today.
These true testimonies of God's faithfulness will encourage you to trust Him more fully and also inspire you to live by faith and not by sight alone.
Before you go, we would like to thank all of you who have supported the Ministry of It Is Written Canada with your prayers and financial contributions. Without your support, this television ministry could not have reached so many people for so many decades.
Yes, thank you. And we would also like to invite you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel and also listen to our podcasts. And if you go to our website, you can see our latest programs.
You too can experience the fullness of life that is found in the words of Jesus when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
If you would like to watch a video of this podcast, please visit iiw.ca, or you can go to our IIW Canada YouTube channel and click on the Videos tab. Once again, thank you so much for listening.